So my name's Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church. And today I want to talk about truth and how truth matters. And when I graduated from high school, I went to Iowa State University. And I don't know if I talk about college stories too much. I guess the danger in sharing college stories is it can make it sound like, look at me, I went to college, like I'm really smart or something. The reality is I'm not very smart. I almost flunked out of college. I only went to college because I had it paid for by my dad, so I was at least smart enough to say, okay, well, if you're going to pay for it, I guess I'll go. And I got good enough grades that I didn't get kicked out. I was a little bit close, but it all worked out in the end. But I remember before I went to school, I was a little bit fearful just of going into the university environment, and I'd heard stories of Christians who had gone to school, and then basically their faith was wiped out. And they no longer believed in the God of the Bible. And so, I didn't know exactly how this happened and what they taught people and how this was taught. But I remember going to Iowa State and seeing the library for the first time. And I was pretty impressed with something on the library. You're not going to be able to see it in this picture. But on the library along the top, it has inscribed along the top of this old beautiful building, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And that's a quotation from the Bible from Jesus. And I thought that was pretty cool that they had this building that had this big prominent quote from Jesus on it. And this is just kind of the side of the building now. It used to be the main entrance, I believe. And so at some point, somebody's like, hey, this is an important thing, and let's put this on this building. And it's like, wow, it's really cool. It's really hard to believe that our society has changed that much. I mean, you know, we can't even imagine them doing that now on a public building. And so my first impression was, wow, that's really, really cool. And then the more I thought about it, the more it started to trouble me, because I'm like, oh, what do they mean by that? And like, I don't know, like, do they mean that in this building, you know, there's truth? This building contains the truth of mankind. And if you go inside this building and read the things that are here, then this truth will set you free. It's like, well, if that's what they mean, that's totally off. Because the context of the verse is something quite different. Here's a little bit more of it. It's John 8:31-32. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So, in other words, that if you follow Jesus' teachings, then you'll know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Which would be very different than if what they were trying to say is, if you subscribe to the teachings of the things that are contained in this library, then that truth will set you free. So my guess is when they first put the quote on the building that they had good intentions. But it's just interesting how the truth stays the same. The truth is still the same. But the way that we view that quote can kind of change and have very different meanings and can really be a complete falsehood if we take it in the wrong way. And so the truth is a little bit hard to find sometimes because we can ruin it by viewing it wrong. Recently, I was in a debate with someone I've talked about before, but this person wrote me and said, "If I understand your position correctly, it sounds as if for you, the Bible is most meaningful if you take it all very literally." And I thought that was kind of interesting. And this person is extremely intelligent, very, very smart. And yet sometimes as I talk to him about various things, I kind of get this feeling like truth is kind of squishy. Like truth can kind of be what you want it to be. And I felt like when he said that, that he was saying that kind of like this is how I almost like how I liked my truth. It's, I like to take what the Bible said and take it very literally because that meant a lot to me. And to me, it's like, well, that's not it at all. That's not at all the way I think. And so I wrote this back. I said, just to clarify my position, it's not that I find the Bible to be more meaningful if I take it all very literal. Rather, I believe that the Bible is true and therefore meaningful. So I don't believe it's true because I find it meaningful. I like it in a certain way. Rather, I believe it's true and therefore can apply it to my life. Therefore, the teachings of Scripture are life-giving. I think I've shared the example before. There's a mega church here in our community. And someone in our church, might have been one of you, I don't really remember who it was, but somebody went and visited that church. And at the church, they were talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the book of Daniel, and how they were supposed to bow down to this golden idol. And they wouldn't do it, so they were going to get thrown into the fiery furnace. And they shared a quote from that book, from the book of Daniel. It says, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. But even if he does not, we want you to know, King, that we will not serve your gods or bow down to the image of gold you have set up." And they left out a little part of that quote, the "but even if he does not." They just did the ellipses, the dot, dot, dot. You know, let's get rid of that part. Because they were preaching on how all you just needed to do is believe, and you could have confidence that God wanted good for your life, and everything's going to work out fine, and just believe what you want, and that's going to be great. But that was inconvenient to the message they were preaching, to have that part in, that even if he does not, it seemed like they had great confidence in the power of God. They had great belief that God could rescue them, and they kind of thought that he was going to, but they also left room. You know what? God might not. But that church was preaching something that was tainted because they wanted to share a certain message. And that's really, really dangerous. For whatever reason, I tend to be very concerned about the truth and kind of skeptical. Sometimes I even feel like maybe I'm made fun of a little bit for that, like I focus too much on the truth. And yet it just, I don't know, it's just the way I think. It's like, oh man, the truth is so important. It's not that that's all that's important. You know, relationship with God is extremely important. But I feel like truth is the foundation of everything that we believe. A day or two ago, I saw a video on Facebook. It's just an example of that. And it said, "Hey, watch this video because this lady's going to pray over you." And just immediately, I'm like, questioning the truth of that. Like, does it work that way? Can I just watch a video of somebody praying for me and God's going to answer her prayers when it's like she doesn't even know who I am? She's not even really praying for me? Does it work that way? And immediately I go into this questioning. What's the truth of this? Does it work like this? And some of you may have seen that post, and I don't mean to knock the person who posted it. They used to attend our church many years ago. But I just, when I see something like that, it's like, what do I do with that? Is that true? And I look at it, it's like, I don't think so. Now, I think I could watch the video and pray along with that person. I could express faith in the things that she's praying, and then those prayers could be answered. But it's not like just watch this video and this person will pray for you, and I don't know, maybe they... I don't know anything about the person that was the prayer, but it's not like I don't feel like they have like some kind of superpowers or magic words to say or something. And so I tend to just, when I see something like that, I just go right into questioning mode. That can be dangerous because sometimes you can kind of squelch the spirit maybe. But it can also be a really good life-saving thing to listen to truth and to be sure that what you're listening to is truth. I have a friend who's a pastor. I don't know if he's currently pastoring, but he used to be a pastor. He really got into some prophecies that said that the election was going to go a certain way. I'm not sharing this in light of the election, say an opinion one way or the other, but it was really interesting. He had heard some kind of Christian prophecies about, you know, things were going to turn out this way. And he was so confident because of the people who gave these prophecies. And me, you know, I go into like truth mode, like, well, is that true? I don't know these people. Like, how do you know that these prophecies are true? But he's kind of on the other side where he's like, oh, I'm so confident that here it is August and he's still sure that the election's going to get overturned. Like, I don't think so. And I could be wrong. That's still a possibility. But it's really important that we evaluate things. Are they true or are they not? Truth matters. And I'll explain why a little bit in this message. I'm going to talk about some things that we can do kind of in light of that. So let's pray. God, we ask that you would just bless this time here. God, I pray that you would help us to hear from you, and maybe more importantly, I guess just that you would help us just to hold on to this idea that truth matters, and you would equip us with things that would help us as we move forward in life to be able to discern truth and to be able to walk in truth and to not be swayed by deception. And so I just ask for your protection on our lives, and God, that you would just help us to be able to find your life-giving ways and to not be swayed from those, and to just hold firmly to your teachings and not just to the things that are appealing to us or that we would like to hear. So we pray that you would be at work here, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the first point there is just that the enemy assaults the truth. This is Satan's mode of operation. And this is one of the key verses, I would say. John 4:42, as Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin if I'm telling the truth? Why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." And so there are a lot of things we could pull out of this passage, but I guess the main thing I want us to hold on to is just that Satan is the father of lies. He is a deceiver. That's his nature. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And now you can see one of his modes of operation. He is a liar and a deceiver. And so when he comes at you, this is often what he's going to do. So he's going to attack the truth. He's going to make the truth look bad and make the lies look good. It's also interesting in there, you get a little bit of a flavor of, he's like, because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. Like you don't believe me, not because you don't believe what I say, but because it's the truth, and you want to believe something else. So we'll pull that out a little bit more as we go here. But man, this is so important for us to understand that Satan is a liar and a deceiver, and he will try to rob life from you by getting you to believe lies. The world promotes relativism over truth. John 18:37. Jesus is standing before Pilate, and Pilate says to him, "You are a king then." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. And that's that relativism. Well, what is truth? Truth is whatever you want it to be. You say that you have truth, somebody else says that they have truth, and I can just believe what I want. There is no truth. It's all relative. And it's like, oh man, how much of that is in our world? How much of that is just, this is the way that the world thinks. Like, there is no truth, which just, I guess in some way of thinking, it's like, well, if there is no God, then what is truth? You know, is there even truth? And that might be why the world is so wishy-washy on this. I think even in Christianity, this can seep in, though, this relativism. When you think about kind of this idea of, some people would say, well, all roads lead to heaven. And the idea there would be, you know, kind of, oh, it doesn't matter so much what you believe, as long as you believe something, as long as you're sincere in what you believe. And while there's part of that, I kind of appreciate that heart of wanting to pull everybody in. The reality is just, that's not true. That's not true. Jesus said, talking about the way to heaven, he said, "I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's not just that we believe something, but that we believe on Jesus. The object of our faith is important, not just that we have faith in something. And yet there's kind of this Hinduistic thinking of believing that all religions and all gods and everything's kind of equal. And that's just relativism. Like, no, there's actually truth. There's something that's true, and there are things that are apart from that truth that are false. The world attacks, distorts, and suppresses truth. In Acts 20:30, it says, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So people will distort the truth. It's not that they just choose to not believe the truth, but they'll attack it, and they'll distort it. They'll change it. Romans 1:18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Somehow, by their wickedness, they're suppressing the truth. I would guess because they want to be wicked. They want to choose sin, and so they push back the truth because that is in the way of the way that they want to live. In our jobs, Kathleen and I both teach ESL classes for Chinese kids, and I think I've mentioned this recently too, but in our classes, we're supposed to be teaching American culture. And so we can teach about Ramadan. We can teach about Hanukkah. We can teach about Santa Claus. We can teach about the Chilean creation myths. But we can't talk about Jesus. Or that Christmas is celebrating the birth of Jesus. And it's amazing how the world attacks the truth. It's interesting that they're not attacking Islam and that they're not attacking Judaism and they're not attacking this false Chilean myth. They're not attacking Santa Claus. They're attacking the truth that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and the world will go after the truth. The world downplays the significance of truth. Again, just a, I guess an example from my life. I was debating somebody and just talking over some things, and they were trying to get me to accept a certain sinful behavior. And I was talking to them about this, and they're like, oh, you know, I can't believe that you think that this behavior is wrong. You know, there are a lot of churches, most churches accept this behavior. I'm like, well, you know, what's that supposed to mean? Because that's not what the Bible says. You want me to switch beliefs just because other people believe this? Well, that's your interpretation of the Bible. Everybody else accepts this except you and your narrow-minded little group of people. It's like, well, you know, I have this source of truth that guides me in what I believe. And yet, he kept pushing like, I'm supposed to change what I believe because everybody else believes it. And there is just this flavor. You can just choose to believe what you want. No. The truth matters. The truth gives life. The truth gives us the path to life. It shows us how to live. It shows us how to live in the new kingdom that we're in. And so your first takeaway, I guess, just with this point, when we realize that Satan is after the truth, he's attacking the truth, he's wanting to deceive and lie, just to be leery of false teaching, to understand that it is out there all over the place, and it's constantly pushing against your mind, constantly pushing against your heart. And it's okay. It's okay to look at things and be a little skeptical. Be like, I don't know. I want to make sure that's true. Next point. Our belief in what's true has less to do with truth than you might think. I tend to think, you know, well, it's just, is it true or not? And if you could just prove to me it's true, you know, it's kind of black and white, well, then I'd believe that. The reality is, I think we tend to believe something is true based on a lot of different things, not just facts, but our own desires and our emotions. And all those things are great indicators of what we think. They're not great indicators of truth. And so let me just give you some examples here from Scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10 says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. In all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They perish because they refused to love the truth. Which is kind of interesting. They didn't love the truth, so what did they do? They went after a falsehood that I would presume that they did love. They didn't love the truth, but they did love the falsehood. And that's how Satan was able to deceive them. And that's a danger for all of us. You know, we all can think, oh, if I only knew the truth, I would do that. It's like, well, that's maybe a naive way of thinking. It's not very realistic. Our hearts are pulled in all kinds of directions. We can be deceived because we want to believe what we want to believe, not just that we want to believe what's true. 1 John 4:6 says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. It's kind of interesting. The spirit of falsehood is one of not listening. It's not just one of, oh, I don't believe that to be true. It's like, I don't want to listen to the truth. And so again, there's a motivation there that's not just trying to evaluate the facts. It's like, I don't like those facts. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. As the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, instead, to suit their own evil desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and aside to myths. And I think this might be one of the other key verses, if there's something else I was really going to hold on to here, is that we can tend to have this propensity to listen to hold on to what we want to hear. They gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Wow. You know, even thinking of that building at Iowa State, I didn't look and see when it was built, but let's say 150 years ago. You know, how much has our culture changed in 150 years that we used to be able to put a Bible verse on a public building like that? And now that would just be completely unheard of. I'm surprised they haven't chiseled it out yet. I mean, that's an amazing thing, how far we've transitioned. And yet, for many of the churches in America, there are key things about our belief systems, about right and wrong, about sin, that have changed so much that now abortion is okay in many churches. And homosexuality is okay in many churches. And premarital sex is okay in many churches. And divorce for any and every reason is okay. And remarriage, no matter the situation, is okay in many situations. And why is that? Well, it's maybe twofold. One is because we don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable, right? Because if we don't say what people's itching ears want to say, what do? Well, they go to another church who will say what they want to hear. And so we can kind of shy away from the truth. And then there's the problem of my own itching ears. You know, who doesn't prefer a message on God's love? By all means, we all want, you know, we all want to be affirmed and encouraged, and that's natural, and that's just part of our makeup. But it's important that we hold on to the truth, and that at times we look at hard teachings and we think about what God says about things. And our culture and our church culture have not done that very well, and that's why things have shifted so much in the last 150 years. Let's go on. 2 Timothy 3:8 says, just as Jonas and Jambres opposed Moses, so these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as faith is concerned, are rejected. Why do they oppose the truth? Because they don't believe it. Because they don't think it's true. They haven't been convinced. I assume it's because they have depraved minds. It's not just a black and white thing. It's stuff going on inside their hearts, inside their minds. 1 Timothy 6:3 says, if anyone teaches otherwise, does not agree to the sound instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, and evil suspicions. Constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Godliness is a means to financial gain. Who would ever think that? Well, some of the pastors that we see on TV and see in the news think that, right? And we see that they think this, and they live this, and they promote a certain teaching to people who want to hear what their itching ears want to hear, and that makes them very popular and famous and rich. And because of that, they've been robbed of the truth. Romans 1:25 says, they exchange the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. In Romans 1, it says that they exchange the truth of God for a lie. Not just that they believe the lie, but it was almost more of a trade-off. They exchanged those things. In a verse we looked at a little bit ago, in verse 18, it talked about how they suppressed the truth by their wickedness. It's not just that they believe something else, but because of their wickedness, they want to believe the lie. And so all that just to say, it's not just a matter of trying to figure out what's true and what's not true, but there are a lot of things going into that, that we can be tempted to believe the wrong thing because we like the wrong thing, or believing the wrong thing allows us to do the things that we like, allows us to sin. So we need to be leery of believing what we want, believing something's true just because somehow that benefits us. That's a danger we all face. The last one there is just that there's protection in the pursuit of truth. It's good to check the truth. Acts 17:11 says the Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. I would encourage you, when you hear a different teaching, when you see a Facebook post, when you read a book, always be asking, is that true? Is that true? Is that true? When you hear a message, when you hear this message, is that true? Is that true? Is he applying that verse right? Because it's so easy to go into falsehood. And remember that that's what Satan wants to do. That's his MO. He is after you. He wants you to believe something that's not true. And so there's probably a barrage of lies that we're facing all the time. The Bereans examined Scripture. When they heard Paul speaking, they didn't say, oh, it's Paul, okay, I can take all this as truth. They went back and they checked. And that was a good thing. It's good to check and make sure that what you think is true is actually true. Be nourished in the truth. 1 Timothy 4:6 says, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and the good teaching you followed. Similar passage in Hebrews 5:12 says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. There's a picture there, almost like being nursed on the truth. You know, go back to your infant stage if you need to and soak in the truth so that you can be built up in the faith. How do we do that? Well, one simple way is to read Scripture. And we go back to the Bible. And I would encourage you to have some kind of pattern, some kind of habit of reading the Bible every day, or not that it has to be consistently every day, five times a week, whatever, but consistently putting yourself in front of God's truth. Why? Because there's a protection in that. Because your enemy is coming at you. And as you keep reading Scripture, you keep seeing truth. It's like, oh, okay. Here's what's really true. Oh, I heard this thing yesterday and I was kind of convinced by it, but here's the truth. And as we read, it keeps refreshing us in the truth. So I would encourage you to do that as a practical application. Is that the only reason we read the Bible? No. No, we want to read the truth. We want to apply the truth. We're also in relationship with God. It's not just about finding content and information and truth. It's about God revealing things to us, speaking to us, and that's important too. But so is the truth. Meditate on the truth. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever is true, whatever is true, meditate on these things. You know, we get so much input from all kinds of different places, right? We hear sermons, we listen to the radio, we read magazines and websites and blogs and books and or movies and TV and all these things are giving us information. Just we're hearing things all the time, all the time. When we were active in teaching parenting classes, one of the things that we would talk about is creating kind of an incubator environment for your kids that's full of God. And it's not that all the worldly stuff is godless in the sense of, like, it's, well, all those TV shows are satanic and they're out to destroy you. I don't believe it in that way. But I do think most of those TV shows are absent of God, and most of the radio doesn't have God in it, and most of the books don't have God in them. And so basically, we're hearing a lot of godless input, a lot of input without God. And to protect our thinking and our way of life, it's helpful to be refreshed in the truth. It's whatever is true. Think about such things. And so think about ways that you can keep reflecting on the truth of God rather than just getting a lot of worldly input. So it could be cutting back on some of the worldly input, or it could be increasing some of the input that you're getting from God and about God. Be armed in the truth, Ephesians 6:14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, breastplate of righteousness in place. It goes on and talks about putting on the armor of God. Why? Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the dark forces of this evil world. There's a battle that we're in the kingdom of God. And this is the armor that we put on so that we can do well in this battle. And part of that armor is truth. Truth. See pursuing truth as part of being equipped for the Christian life. And then don't stray from the truth. Galatians 5:7. So you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? We're pretty careful with who we put in front of the church, who we have speak. And we had someone come and speak at our church several years ago. And this guy right now is not really doing very well. He has pursued a different religion that teaches more, you know, kind of that you can work your way to heaven type things. And things that I would just say are just flat not true. So here's this guy that was doing really, really well. He's doing so well that we thought, oh, it'd be great to have him come and speak to our group. I mean, that's, in my mind, it's like, wow, this is a solid dude. And yet now he's struggling. He's struggling. Why? Well, he went through a lot of hard things, and that definitely impacted it. But part of it is he let go of the truth. Somebody cut in front of him, and he got swayed into some false teaching. Is that surprising? It is kind of, right? Should it be? No, probably not. Right? Because that's Satan's MO. That's how he works. He deceives people. He's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. And so your last point there is just to be refreshed in the truth. Be refreshed in the truth. That equips us for life. So be leery of false teaching. Be leery of believing that something's true just because, I really like that idea. And then figure out ways that you can be refreshed in the truth, like quiet times, like whatever, listening to Christian music, like going to church, like just putting yourself before God's truth as often as much as you can. I think there's a real protection in that, and I think it's very life-giving when we hold closely to God's ways. So let's pray. God, we thank you for this time here, and we thank you just for your scripture. Thank you that we do have a source of truth from you and from your word, and I pray, God, you would help us just, again, as we hear different ideas, different teachings, different philosophies, different things from the church, from pastors, from leaders, from the world. God, I pray that you would help us to be able to discern what's true and what's not. And God, that we would not fall into believing falsehoods. And I pray even not just with sin and doctrine and things, but just even like the stuff Dove talked about recently with our identity. We can believe like, I'm a failure and God could never forgive me and God doesn't have any purpose for my life. Or there are all kinds of different falsehoods that we can hold on to and that we can believe that destroy our effectiveness. God, help us to hold on to the truths of our forgiveness and our identity, as well as the truths about sin and righteousness and doctrine. We just thank you for this time here, and again, just pray you'd help us to apply these things. Jesus' name, amen.